Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Friday morning here on KSJE, and we are going to be talking about San Juan County. We are joined in the studio by the new chairman of the San Juan County Commission. Chairman Fortner is here. Good morning, Terry Fortner. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you get any advice from your husband about being chairman of the county commission?
No, he stayed pretty quiet.
Does he?
So, yeah, he just kind of lets me figure it out and says good luck.
Okay, so that's good advice.
That's right.
That is good advice. Of course, your husband, Jack Fortner, is the former chairman of the county commission, which is why I brought that up.
But yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Great to have you here. Mike Stark is also here, the San Juan County manager. Mr. Stark, welcome back to KSJE. Good to have you here as well.
You bet. Good morning, Scott, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Same to you. And so you're all getting ready for Santa Fe next week. The 30-day session will start next week. And so, of course, there's a lot of things the county is watching to kind of see how things go, but it's a short 30-day session, so it kind of is all geared around the budget, right? That's kind of where we're looking so far.
Correct. Yeah. So financial matters, and then anything on the governor's call,
right,
is what you can expect during a 30-day session. And this year, you know, the state's pretty flush with money, both federally as well as having you know, an increase in state revenues across the board. And so that's helpful because we won't go in playing defense like we've had to play in other years. So I hope it will be a pretty enjoyable 30-day session with not a lot of fireworks or fanfare.
You think a lot of at least folks agreeing on how to spend that money, or will there be a lot of differences of opinion?
Well, I think there'll be a difference of opinion.
Okay.
Anytime money's involved, there'll be a difference on how to spend it.
Gotcha.
But, you know, those, and sometimes I guess that can be a little more difficult when there's excess funding. Versus, you know, there being a budget, you know, crisis, you know you've got to cut.
Right.
And so you've got to make, you know, those decisions accordingly. But hopefully it won't, you know, it will be a pretty calm session. At least that's our hope from San Juan County.
From your lips, we'll see what happens, Mike Stark, but that would be good. And I know sometimes folks are concerned about the sustainability of maybe increased funding and higher budgets and things along that line when times aren't maybe so good. And Terry Fortner, I know from the county commission, that's got to be a concern too. If you know, if there are programs that come down that say you've got to spend more on this, well, this year it's fine. There's plenty of money to do that. But what about maybe next year or 3, 4, 5 years down the road?
That's correct, Scott. And I think that's one of the beauties of working with our county manager and all the other department heads, is because last year we were able to have several sessions to be able to create a strategic plan and really see how we make best use of the taxpayers' money. And going forward, without really knowing what the budget's going to have in the legislature, we've still got to keep it balanced and make it sustainable. So we've had that opportunity, and I know today we're going to talk about our top three initiatives.
That's right.
Which is came out of that, all the planning that we went through.
Very good. Well, let's do that, and let's talk about some of the things that the county is looking at. What are some of those top three things that are on your top of mind, at least, for
okay,
so far?
Well, the top three that come to mind is, first, it's the fire and rescue. And in light of the seasons that come and go, and even out of season with what happened in Kansas and other places with fires, it's so important to make sure that our fire and rescue are ready with what they need. And so they need a new piece of equipment. It's in the form of a vehicle. And they're looking at or we're asking for about $250,000 for that to I don't know if it's a replacement or it's just a new piece of vehicle.
Gotcha. In addition to the fleet, I guess, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right.
Got it.
And then the other one is County Road 6480 that goes Twin Hills or Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks, that's right.
Towards Kirtland. that I think it's about a five mile stretch of road.
This is the road that, pardon me, but I just for folks who understand, it's the road that continues if you cross La Plata Highway from Pinyon Hills.
Yes.
It's the road that goes up and then it kind of goes through the, into the Kirtland area.
Yes, and past Tibbetts.
Right.
The school out there. So it's used, I think they call it a minor arterial, but it parallels 64, is my understanding. So that needs to be resurfaced. And it's been a while, I think since about 2015, since anything has been done with that. So it's in need. So that's one of the priorities, and that would be what we're being told is $850,000 to do that. So, and then the other thing is the helicopter. And as we know with what happened with the Farmington police officer, and I just want to say our thoughts and prayers go out to Police Officer Barreto during his healing, and just thank him very much for his service and everybody, all the men and women that are out there searching for this felon.
Right.
So, and it just goes to show how important the helicopter is.
Right. And now, and I just pardon me for interrupting yet again, but how important I think the agencies work together,
yes,
right? Because this was
I
a
agree.
Farmington police situation, but certainly I think they just make a phone call and the sheriff's office says, let's launch the chopper and get it up there to help in the search efforts, and that's what we saw.
Right, exactly. And so the ask for that is around $3 million. And from my understanding, that helicopter came to the county in about 2001, but it was already 30 years old. So they've
it was
had,
a surplus kind of
right,
thing. Yeah.
Right, right. And so they've had to do a lot to maintain it. So the closest place that would have a helicopter is Albuquerque. And, you know, it, with what happened this past week, we see the importance of having a helicopter to assist in all these type situations.
Right.
So those are our top three priorities right now.
Those are the kind of the capital requests that
yes,
you'll be asking at the legislature. And it's maybe a shorter list than usual, but how does it compare to other years, Mike Stark?
Yeah, it is a little shorter, but the level of the request is much higher per item, obviously.
I gotcha.
The helicopter being $3 million. So we, you know, we try to give our legislators a menu of options. Of course, the helicopter's our top priority, but we also know that our legislators work hard to fund projects across all the entities up here, and they try to fund projects that they can complete in full. So if you receive funding this year, you know you can get your road constructed or your bridge built, or in this case, a brand new helicopter. And so they've got other entities that they're working with, the municipalities, San Juan College, the Navajo Nation. And so we try to put a request in that we know kind of fits within their budget that they receive, because they, you know, each representative and senator receives an allocation. And then our legislators are really unique, and shout out to them to collaboratively work together. That does not happen in other parts of the state.
Right.
To try to fund projects, like I mentioned again, that can be completed immediately.
They all kind of support each other's requests, right? Or they try to come up with a agreed to list, I guess, right, to push forward. Isn't that how
it
works?
They do, and they try to make sure it's spread out equally across the various entities. And, you know, some of these projects are regionally beneficial. So the helicopter actually is going to benefit all the law enforcement agencies in San Juan County, not just San Juan County. And so I think that's going to probably reach a little higher level on their list just because of that.
Sure. And that's an expensive prospect, but I think, you know, we can certainly tell a lot of stories about how useful it is when it comes to surveillance and search and rescue and all these things, looking for the bad guys, and just it's used, I think, all the time, and really is quite great to have as a resource when you're out looking for a missing kid or a suspect or whatever the case may be. It's been used time and time again.
Especially at, you know, a geographic area the size of ours. You know,
we're
5,500 square miles as a county. That's larger than two states in the District of Columbia in terms of land mass. So so the helicopter can get used for a lot of different purposes in a lot of different areas. And it occasionally gets used you know, across state lines. If we get a request,
sure, of course,
the sheriff will oftentimes look to try to fulfill requests here regionally. So it's definitely an asset that we're fortunate to have, and we want to continue to make available for our citizens, because it is, as you mentioned, such an important piece of equipment when it comes to search and rescue missions
Right.
Just all the other things that it's able to do for us.
Indeed. And we talked a little bit about those ongoing expenses. A helicopter is an expensive piece of equipment to be able to have, but the commission is committed to maintaining the service that that a helicopter would need and the staffing for the sheriff's office and all those types of things,
correct.
It sounds like, right?
I think that's one of the top priorities for the county is we want to live in a safe place. And in light of what goes on in other places, it's really important that you can go to bed at night and know you're going to be safe or your kids are going to go to school or you're going to walk down the street. So, yes, it's very important.
Right. And if something goes wrong, you don't have to wait, I don't know how long it would take a helicopter
exactly.
to get here from Albuquerque, but it's not instantaneous. It certainly would be quicker to come from
Aztec. At least 100 miles, air miles, I mm-hmm. believe. So,
right.
Yeah.
But there you go. Well, those are the three requests that the county is making to the state this year. And so the other thing we want to talk about, too, that we talked about before we came on the air this morning is a bit about this talk about hydrogen hubs mm-hmm. in our state. And those could be quite big deals when we talk about that. The federal government's looking at them, the state is looking at them, and so talk to me a little bit about what the state is proposing. The governor, I guess, has some ideas, right, for this
right.
project?
Right. In light of the fact that PNM is abandoning the coal-fired plant, we need something back in place. So we've had conversations, even with at the federal level, in engaging people to see what we can do about a hydrogen hub in our area. And so it seems there's really good prospects to be able to get that funding. So it'll be very important, and there's going to be a lot of conversation during this legislature. And it's a 30-day session.
Right, too. Right. But so the idea would be to have a – I know that Sam Collins is working with
yes.
Biotech, a company involved with this type of technology, mm-hmm. to create, I guess, just hydrogen, right, from carbon-based natural gas or other sources,
methane.
And then make it into a marketable entity, correct?
Right, exactly. And so I know there's different people that are going around the state promoting this, talking about it, educating people on what happens. And so it's just kind of a wait and see
right
now to see what the governor's position is on it, and then other legislators have a bill that they're going to be presenting, so being able to see that and exactly what goes into it.
Got you. And Mike Stark, this hydrogen hub idea is something the governor is looking at for other areas of the state, potentially?
Yeah, no, it would be a statewide initiative. And here locally, Jason Sandel actually convened a group that included the governor and five or six cabinet secretaries last July here at San Juan College to talk about this hydrogen hub concept and what it would look like for our area. What are some of the unique opportunities and unique assets that we have here to help see this industry naturally develop? And we do have quite a bit when you think about it. Initially, and methane-based blue hydrogen, using existing natural gas, we have an abundant supply of that here. And so it's a matter of kind of cleaning up the stream, sequestering the CO2. We've got great geologic formations here to actually sequester the CO2, and then we actually have transportation here through pipelines. My understanding is that 15 to 20% capacity potentially you could inject hydrogen into an existing natural gas line, and then be able to extract that out for the end user. And so we have transmission, we have the sequestering capability. We have electric transmission, which is helpful. So we are working with a company, the Libertad Group, mm-hmm. looking to build out a hydrogen electric generation station on the western side of the county. And so that would be potentially a replacement of jobs related to the coal-fired plant that we may end up losing if Enchant Energy is not successful with keeping that open
right
permanently, so or extending the life of the plant rather. So yeah, there's some great opportunities here, and the state appears to be leading that issue, leading that charge, and no doubt Northwest New Mexico, San Juan County, McKinley County. I know they have a plant that's already coal-fired plant that's already been abandoned, Escalante.
Right.
That company is looking at turning that into a hydrogen generation facility as well as a electric generation facility. And so it's just looking out ahead, saying, okay, we've got these industries here today. What does the future of creating clean energy look like, and how can our state, how can Northwest New Mexico, how can San Juan County best take advantage of that.
Right. And so so obviously it's gotten the governor's attention, and so she would like to see these in the state. The federal government is also talking about hydrogen hubs. In fact, we were talking earlier, Secretary Granholm, the energy secretary, was here in San Juan County, kind of seeing that. And so it's the federal government, too, wants to maybe put some of these into place around the country. Is that what's happening?
That's correct, and it's gotten the attention of our senator, Heinrich, also. So that kind of brings things into focus for our state, for our area, that we're ready, and it's prime for the opportunity that's happening just to the west of us.
Right.
And, you know, there's still discussion of what's happening with the railroad, and, you know, Mike can touch more on that, but as you know, there was an MOU that was signed with the Navajo Nation, and so it's just everything's primed for the right time for this to happen.
Right. And, of course, the federal government would bring some more additional dollars, I think.
Correct.
To set up some of the infrastructure that would be needed for these types of things.
Right.
I guess the state has some state dollars they're willing to put into the mix as well with their proposal. So that's kind of what we're talking about as well. The county would be the recipient of some of these influxes of cash, I guess.
That's what we're waiting to see.
Happen.
Yeah.
Right.
And first step in all this, and I think it's important, is, and this is where the hydrogen hub legislation is critical, that creates the framework, that creates the policies associated with trying to promote this industry, the tax incentives that may be necessary to create investment into this new economy potentially, and so that has to come first, and so I it's not going to come without some hurdles. I when I say it's going to be a calm session, it may not be calm related to
the
hydrogen hub legislation. I think it's, you know, there's some folks that are concerned that this would start off initially as a fossil fuel based type of arrangement, but eventually our area is positioned to work towards a green hydrogen solution where you've got renewable energy, primarily through solar, using a process called electrolysis to separate out H2O, the hydrogen from the oxygen molecules in water. Of course, it is very water-intensive type system, but we actually have a lot of produced water here in our area. So I think there'd be some opportunities for us there to eventually transition from the blue hydrogen to green over time. I mean, my understanding, I'm learning a lot about hydrogen over the last year.
We all are, I'm afraid, right? Yes. True.
It's been quite a learning experience, but my understanding is today green hydrogen is 5 to 6 times the cost of blue hydrogen. So it really makes sense that it's an all-and-above type strategy to start and progress towards from more carbon intensity to less. That's actually what the governor's bill that she's promoting would do.
Okay.
So that over time, you're incentivized to keep making your stream of hydrogen cleaner. And so I think that's the best way for us to take advantage of it. But, you know, there are folks on the other side of the fence saying, hey, any solution, any type of new industry that involves fossil fuels, we're opposed to. And that's unfortunate because we're talking about, you know, this really helps with decarbonizing. If you truly care about the environment, you want to decarbonize all the different fuels that are out there, from electric generation to transportation to, you know, you name it, industrial type uses. You know, you've got to start, you know, here where you can actually eventually move towards that end goal. But if you make it so cost ineffective to start, you're never going to see industry wanting to adapt to something new.
Right.
And you're not going to see folks wanting to invest in something where there's not a decent return on investment for their mm-hmm. for their shareholders or their stockholders. So
gotcha.
I think that's going to be the big challenge for the governor. I applaud her for taking this issue on. San Juan County, we don't always support the initiatives that the governor has put forth in the last couple of legislative sessions, but this one we're absolutely behind because we see the great opportunity that would provide San Juan County, our citizens, and those replacement jobs and tax revenues that mm-hmm. we're
right.
very concerned about.
Right, and that's the distinction, too, that you bring up a little bit about this blue hydrogen, which is dealing with the maybe natural gas and methane side of things, and a lot of the more environmental environmental folks would like to see it more of green hydrogen. In my conversations with Biotech, this company that's working here with San Juan College to train folks in this industry, which is starting up as well, which is an exciting thing. You know, they are saying that maybe hydrogen could be the future fuel for long-range transportation issues if we're trying to get away from gasoline and electric vehicles don't have the range that maybe a semi-truck needs. Hydrogen could provide that type of fuel for those future types of transportation. And so that's what I think we're talking about when we talk about the demand for this type of gas and fuel and what it would be used for. That's just one of many things that it could be used for, at least in my understanding.
And we're
probably learned more than I have.
Well,
so
we're uniquely positioned, Scott, for the I-40 corridor. If you want to take on a demonstration project, you know, I-40 runs all the way to the L.A. port. And we know how important the L.A. port is to the distribution of goods across our country.
Right, when it's working and when it's not backed up.
That's right.
Halfway to Japan. But
yes. If you had this as the demonstration pilot, the I-40 highway corridor, you go from L.A. all the way to the southeastern part of the U.S. And so install these mobile hydrogen generators across different fueling stations that already exist today. And you could create that network that could support hydrogen-based long-haul trucking.
Which is what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
One of the possibilities. I mean,
New Mexico just happens to be right in the middle of where that opportunity lies and has the a lot of those unique assets that I think would make us prime to be able to show the federal government, hey, our area, and that may be the state. I understand the state of New Mexico is also reaching out to other states, so maybe a multi-state application that's made to show that we should be one of the four demonstration grants in the U.S.
That's the federal government
for a lot of different reasons,
right?
Mm-hmm. In addition to being a coal-affected community, which I hope would receive some level of sympathy at the D.C. level, and we're not alone in that. I mean, I think my understanding is Senator Manchin may have one of these hydrogen hub grants already kind of locked up for his region, because obviously West Virginia is a coal-affected community as well. So,
got you. Mm-hmm. But certainly we are, and that's what you're talking about, is as we talk about PNM planning to abandon their plant in 2022, and maybe APS saying now they may want to abandon theirs by 2031. Mm-hmm. That would be a major change in our economy and in our communities for sure,
right,
if and when that happens. Ter Fortner, I mean, we talk about these types of ideas. I mean, they're really these grandiose things, and they're so different maybe from what we're used to. So do you find a lot of folks do need to get up to speed and maybe have a hard time maybe wrapping their heads around this really different change of jobs and economy and things along that line when you talk to folks about these things?
I think so. There's been a lot of shift, as we all know, over the last couple of years. So I think people are flexible, resilient, and they're looking for opportunity. And I think this is going to be a great opportunity. So, yeah, I think continue to read. That's what I've had to do because it's not something I'm more familiar with, healthcare. So, but it's hydrogen, right? So that's part of chemistry. So kind of learning what does this mean and how do you get this? So listen to what people have to say about it. That's what I've done, and that's what I would encourage people. And there's often articles in the newspaper, some type of source that you feel you can trust to learn about these things.
That's an important part.
I believe
a source
so.
You can trust for a lot of different things.
I believe so.
Yeah, very, very true.
Yes.
And we'll be hearing a lot more about these hydrogen hubs and these terms, blue hydrogen and green hydrogen, so folks should be familiar with what we're talking about, and especially how it relates to maybe the existing industry of the natural gas industry here in the San Juan Basin. I'm sure a lot of these folks are paying very close attention to this discussion.
Because from my understanding, there's three different methods that they can use to come up with hydrogen. And so they're looking for the most effective and the least costly. And so that's kind of the work in the process with everybody that's in the conversation. Mm-hmm. So, and it's really, for me, it's a learning process.
Very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. You mentioned a little bit about the rail idea, mm-hmm. and I wanted to ask Mike Stark if he had an update about the rail project, which is very exciting, but a very expensive and certainly long-range type of a project. But again, I think it could be a game changer for our corner of the state if we were to get a rail spur from the I-40 corridor into northwest New Mexico. There is this MOU with the Navajo Nation. There is this major grant that's been awarded, I think, to plan for this. Is that where we are?
We are. We have exciting news. Actually, the county commission at their next meeting next Tuesday
We'll is this breaking news?
This breaking is news breaking on news. PSJU? It will be on the agenda, the
okay.
award
All right.
of the engineering services contract to a firm, which
okay.
I can't disclose right now because they
be
ultimately have to make
approve
that decision.
It. Yes.
But
right.
there's a recommendation. We use a committee to evaluate proposals that we ask for a variety of things at the county.
Sure.
That committee has made a recommendation to the commission, and assuming they'll want to move forward with this project. And so, yes, that will actually then start the clock on what we think will be anywhere from a 9 to 18 month process in you know developing different routes for discussion and
analysis. How much of it goes this way, how much of it goes that
exactly,
way, all those types
you know,
of
where's
things,
the
right?
transloading facility going to be, you know, what communities on the Navajo Nation would want to take advantage of this rail spur, which do not, which would prefer it move further one way or the other. And
mm-hmm.
so there'll be a lot of public input meetings that will be associated with this process. So we'll make sure that we're covering all the bases and make sure that citizen input is heard loud and clear on trying to develop, you know, where this rail line needs to go. And then what are the economic opportunities that come from? And the list is quite long, both import and export. And hydrogen could even play into that.
Sure.
Both in terms of, I saw BNSF is looking at hydrogen-powered locomotives.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we go.
Right.
Another opportunity for us to create, you know, clean hydrogen here, ship it down to via pipeline or maybe via rail line to Gallup, where they've got a large facility themselves that they refuel trains. Potentially the opportunity to pipe or ship hydrogen
right.
via rail. So, yeah, it a lot of opportunities, and we couldn't have timed this better. I wish we could take credit for the timing, but
well.
But having the federal infrastructure bill
mm-hmm.
Being delivered when it was has created the real opportunity. One of the concerns we have with the rail project, it's a upwards of $350 million 90-mile extension from the I-40 corridor. It's not cheap.
Right.
So we get, you know, the planning done. Well, now how do we get it paid for? Well, now we've got the infrastructure bill that actually has quite a few dollars associated with rail development and enhancement throughout the U.S. For both freight and passenger. Ours, of course, would be focused on the freight side of things. But could have timed that better.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting.
It is.
There might be money available to see it move to the next step and all those other things. And so that is very, very exciting. And I've always said, too, that, you know, getting the route and the tracks built, if people are upset about a diesel train going back and forth, that could be different, right? As long as you have the route and the rails down, the train could be hydrogen powered or whatever down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But getting that route figured out and the tracks laid is kind of the first step. And then what runs the train is secondary, maybe.
Absolutely.
Right.
So. Well, and having the cooperation, you mentioned the MOU, that was truly historic. You know,
with the tribe.
Mm-hmm. With the tribe, to have them involved and to fully support the effort. You know, we've been looking at rail for 35 to 40 years in this area, and
mm-hmm.
but never had, you know, that key partner on board. And so now we do, and they were very involved in you know, part of the evaluation team on choosing an engineering firm. And so great cooperation thus far. We want to continue that and see ultimately, you know, rail line constructed.
Right.
To the largest metropolitan area, statistical area.
That's right.
Without freight rail, I might add. So
how about that? Well,
making our pitch to the feds right here.
Yeah. That's notable, I think, too. It's something that should be changing. I think it would be a regional impact, too. I think
definitely.
Colorado would certainly benefit, Northeast Arizona, Southeast Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was certainly a regional thing. So that's mm-hmm. an important project, and we're excited about the next step. So.
Correct.
Thank you both for bringing that in. We are about out of time. Is there any final thoughts, Chairman Fortner, as we look for 2022?
I would just say thank you for having us, Scott. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and these are exciting times for us. There's been a lot of change, but I see things going in a positive direction. So just encourage people to ask questions and to continue to read and listen what's happening.
And know your sources.
That's right.
Okay.
100%.
Very good. Mike Stark? Final thoughts?
Oh, just, always appreciate the opportunity to be
here. Your favorite
here.
Place to eat in Santa Fe? I mean, what?
Well, actually, I do like the Shed. So
okay.
I'll put a plug in for that.
All right, there you go.
But
you'll
yeah,
be spending
we'll
some time
there,
there
for a couple of days, at least initially next week to kick the session off. New Mexico counties,
I'm a representative
Chairman
too.
Fortner is a representative on that group.
There you go.
We'll be there for a couple of days. Of course, we always take the opportunity to meet with our legislators while we're there. We've already met with them prior to the session, but just to, if nothing else, to give moral support. So,
that's right.
Very good.
But yeah, we look forward to a good session and hopefully some good outcomes.
Well, we'll see. Maybe we'll have you back after 30 days and see how we did.
Thank you, Scott.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Thank you, both of you. Mike Stark and Terry Fortner from San Juan County, my guests this morning here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.